time that Wendy has played the keyboards, and she's done it for us this morning, and I think we need to appreciate her. Because without her, we wouldn't have been able to worship. So we're just really grateful that you've taken a step of faith. Well done. My message this morning is that we are created for fruitfulness. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open to Genesis and chapter 1. And we're just going to read one verse to begin. And I want you to pay careful attention to what the Lord is saying in this verse, Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now, of course, this is something that happens at the very beginning of the story of creation, that God has created the world, he puts mankind in it, and he then blesses them. But what do we need to understand about this particular blessing? Because everything that God does in the physical, in the physical realm, is to give us the opportunity to see what he's doing in the spiritual realm. So when it says that God blessed them, we need to pause. God blessed man. He blessed humans. Is anybody here a human? Me and Jane are humans. Anyone else a human? Some of you still aren't humans. Are you from outer space? We all here live under this blessing. Because the Father, our Father God, is a God who, when he puts something to work, it doesn't stop working. It's always working. Now, of course, you know, this is kind of almost giving a picture of the planting of a garden, because it's talking about physical things of, you know, making sure that the earth is fruitful. I think I've shared this before. I am not a gardener. If I plant things, they die. It's just what happens. I pray and I ask God and I say, "Lord, please give me the ability to plant something and for it to survive." I still yet to have to see this prayer answered. I'm sure that out in this room, there are some people that you are amazing gardeners, and that when you put something in the ground, a seed in the ground, it multiplies and becomes something wonderful. It's because you're made in the image of God. This is who your Father is. He's an amazing gardener. When he plants something and when he blesses something, it continues to grow. So if you go to the next slide, I just want to point this out to you. Why this blessing is still at work. So God's grace has been released. And his blessing is, be fruitful. That's not from you. He said it over you. Be fruitful. So guess what? If you are a Christian today, you are fruitful. Not because of anything you did, but because of what God said. And then he says, increase in number. So it's not just being fruitful, there is a multiplication of that fruitfulness. So it's not that you can just be a little bit fruitful. Actually, your life is meant to produce a multiplication of fruitfulness. Your life is able to overflow with fruit. Again, not because you did anything, but because God blessed you. This is a blessing that's been in motion since the very creation of the world. It says, fill the earth. Fill the earth. Now, of course, we have filled the earth. As man, as humans, we've filled the earth. But the blessing now is that we're meant to fill the earth with the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we fill the earth with the good news of Jesus Christ, it becomes subdued, but not by our rule, but under Jesus, by the rule and reign of the kingdom of God. Since Jesus came, this has been the blessing that those of us that call ourselves disciples are meant to be following. This is what your life is meant to produce. Wherever you're placed and wherever you are. You know, if you guys, you young people on your phones, I can see you. You're taking notes. I know that's what you're doing. You are meant to bring the kingdom of God into your schools, into your colleges, your universities. Those of you that are in a workplace, you are meant to bring the rule and reign of the kingdom of God into your workplace. By your very presence there, remember that first blessing, God says you're fruitful. And not just a little bit fruitful, you're very fruitful, because there's a multiplication of that fruit. And when we begin to understand this, that our lives are meant to be lives of fruitfulness. There's a Scottish theologian called Andrew Murray, and he very simply put, a fruitful life is the natural outcome for a Christian. A fruitful life is the natural outcome of a Christian. And yet, some of the time, we kind of walk around feeling like, I don't think I do very well, and I don't feel like I follow Jesus very well, and I'm always getting things wrong, and I'm a bit rubbish. I feel a bit rubbish, Lord. When at the very beginning of the world, God blessed you and said, be fruitful. And not just a little bit, but a lot. And this is what we should expect. I remember when I was first being discipled, I was with a missionary organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And we used to take groups of young people, as young as, 7 or 8 years old. We used to have them come to us, and then we'd do some training with them on evangelism, and we, this Jane will like this, we did puppet ministry out on the streets. We did dances. I used to do dances on the streets, and I'm not going to demonstrate. In fact, there was one dance, I mean, where because Rachel and I were young at this point, and we used to do this. It was very impressive. We used to do this one move where she'd kind of run, and then I'd flip her over, and she'd do like a somersault. I know. It's not going to happen now. I think some kind of hospital visit would probably ensue. My back would go, or I'd drop her. I'd probably drop her, that's what would happen. So we're meant to be fruitful. But these kids, they went out on the street, these children, and they just, because we would talk about this kind of stuff in our training sessions, that when we go out today and we preach the good news, people are going to come to know Jesus. And of course, we're kind of there as slightly older leaders going, please, Lord, let people come to you today. But because these children went out believing that they were going to be fruitful, and that people, they were going to get to pray for people, and people were going to become Christians, and they were going to see healings and signs and wonders, all of those things happened every single time they did something. Because they just believed it. You know, Jesus said, when he says, be like children, it's not that you're meant to be childish, like, you know, you're not meant to be immature, but you are meant to have faith like a child. Because if you say to a child, Jesus saves people, they just think Jesus saves people. If you say to a child, Jesus heals people, then they believe Jesus heals people. And so all of these things used to happen. And I want to encourage us. You know, this is a moment we are in right now in our nation where God is doing something. And we can even see here in this very room that God is doing something. There's not many weeks that we don't see new people, people who aren't yet Christians, coming off the streets, wherever they're living, and coming into church. I mean, just last week in Tilehurst, I had the privilege of leading a young man to Christ who has come from a really dark place. But he's been coming to church for a while, but he'd not given his life to Jesus, but last week he came forward for the very first time and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. It's amazing. Hallelujah indeed. We're meant to be fruitful. If you can turn in your Bibles to John 15, but again, it's on the screen. Now, Sama, this is where you've got the Farsi printouts, which I hope are correct. So we're just going to read a little bit more scripture. And this is from John chapter 15. Reading from verse 1. And this kind of carries on the picture of the blessing that God has released into the world. It kind of continues that, because it talks about, in the first verse, the Father God as the gardener. So just kind of keep that picture in your minds. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Next slide. I am the vine. You are the branches. Just point to yourself. Point to yourself and say, I am a branch. I am a branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That doesn't sound so good, does it? If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then one more, which is just slightly later on, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever, here it is again, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So Jesus takes this picture of the Father as the gardener, and he paints for us this amazing picture of fruitfulness, that if we as followers of Jesus remain in him, then we're going to bear fruit. But I want to point out there's three types of fruit that Jesus talks about. He talks about fruit, then he talks about more fruit, and then he talks about much fruit. So there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That doesn't sound like our lives are meant to produce nothing. It doesn't even sound like our lives are kind of meant to produce something. It sounds like our lives are meant to produce much fruit if we choose to remain in Jesus. Now, I just want to focus on that word remain for a moment. Because what does it mean to remain in Jesus? Now, the Greek word that's used there is the word meno. Meno. And kind of the root of it is that the word abide, which means to stay. The word meno is to abide, which is to stay. But it's not just to stay and kind of wonder what's going to happen if I stay. No. To abide is to be in a place of peace, is to be in a place of trust, is to be in a place where you know that where you are is safe and where you are is the right place to be. Now, I'm going to give you a very quick challenge. So if you go back to the first part of this scripture, I want you to do two things. I think we've got a lot of intelligent people in the room. And can you all count? Yeah? I want you to count how many times it says abide, or sorry, remain. And I want you to count how many times it talks about fruit, starting from the first one. So I'm gonna say change, and then it's gonna go to the next slide. But I'm gonna give you a little bit of time in each one. Are you ready? Are you sure? Right, 3, 2, 1, go. First slide. Two words, remain and fruit. And keep the total in your head. Dun, 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 dun. Change. Total of the first one, keep counting. Change. Oh. Okay. Do we think we got it? He's looking reasonably confident that they're. Okay. How many times do we think it said the word remain? Anyone want to be brave? Sama! Okay, says the word remain 8 times. How many times does it talk about fruit? 9. I want you to think about this. Our job is to remain. It's God that produces the fruit through us. It's His life. That's what Jesus is talking about. His life moving through us. And so whilst we remain, God is the God that does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So there's always going to be more fruit than we could ever do in our remaining. There's more fruit. We can remain, but God is always going to do more through us. The next thing that I want to point out to you is this, and I love it, because God is a God of order. Jesus is a Savior who is precise in what He says and what He does. If you want to turn to Galatians 5, it's not on the screen, so you have to this time. And verse 22 and 23. For those of you that know Galatians 5, woo, that sounds familiar. Why does it sound familiar? Because it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to count up how many fruits there are. How many fruits? 9. When Jesus releases blessing to you, he is incredibly precise in the blessing that he talked about fruit 9 times. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. That means, and I hope you already know this, but I'm going to remind you, you have access to every single one of those fruits. Because Jesus, as he said, remain in me, bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. You might find that actually you struggle with some of those gifts. Like, I struggle to be patient. Well, what you need to do is you need to pray for fruitfulness in your life, and patience will come because God will release it to you. You might struggle with self-control. Many of us will struggle with self-control. It might be to do with eating. We struggle to contain our appetites. When we need comfort, we turn to food. It might be that we struggle with what we watch on the television. It might be that we struggle with more serious issues. I mean, all these things are serious, but things like addiction, of which there are many, to many things. But if we are in the place where we understand that our lives, as a natural consequence of following Christ, produce fruit, and that actually right back at the beginning, God blessed us. It's his blessing. So you're not looking to try and manufacture your own way out of things. No, God blessed you, and he's blessed you with these things. It's already there. I've answered the question, how many gifts of the Spirit are there? Listed in 1 Corinthians 12. There are 9. Count them. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And what that means is, if you're living in this blessing of fruitfulness that comes from following Christ, the natural outcome of a Christian life, because most of us, when we're looking at these, we might be thinking, well, that's Pastor Mabel. We can talk about Pastor Mabel. She's not here. Although, she, to be honest, she likes it when we talk about her. Or you might think, no, well, that's Pastor Yinka that can operate in all of these gifts. Or you might be in a place where you're thinking, well, yeah, I can kind of have faith. I can do that. Sometimes I feel faith rising up within me and I can do that gift. All of these gifts are open to all of us. Why? Because Jesus said, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. You might start just operating in one gift. But I want to encourage you, don't just choose to stay in that one place. Choose to believe that when Jesus released fruitfulness in your life, that it was meant to be all of you. All of you. All of you, every single one of you, your lives are meant to have this fruitfulness. The natural outcome of a Christian life. And so, how? What can we do that will help us? Well, it just simply comes back to that one word, remain. Abide. Stay. Be at peace. Trust that God has got it. That you are living under that blessing that He put into place at the very beginning. Be fruitful. Multiply that fruitfulness. Fill the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you do so, the earth becomes subdued by the rule and reign of the kingdom of God. It's the simple stuff. You might think, Gareth, this doesn't sound simple. I think this is potentially the simplest thing that we could ever possibly hear about. What if I just choose to remain and not be dragged off by other things? Things that I can put my trust in. You know, most of us in the room, or a lot of us in the room, have jobs. We trust that our job will be there. We trust that our job will provide us an income. This isn't meant to scare you. Jobs could disappear tomorrow. With the right level of decision making from the wrong people, people who have no faith in God, a desire to control others. The things that we see moving in the world. How would you feel tomorrow if suddenly your income was closed off? You didn't have it anymore. What would happen if the person you trust most in the world let you down? The person that you thought would always be there for you, would you still be able to trust? I pray that none of these things happen. I pray that everyone here that needs a job will always have a job. I pray that your income will multiply in Jesus' name. But is that what we should put our trust in? Or should we put our trust in God? Should we make the decision that, Lord, I want to be someone who chooses to abide, to remain, to stay, to trust, to be at peace, that you will always provide everything that I need. Even if the world falls apart, I'll still believe that you are God. And that I can still, even in that moment, be fruitful because you've said so. Because you've commanded it, because you've ordained it, because you've blessed it. And so, I'd love us to pray this afternoon now. I'd love us to pray And so I'm going to ask the worship team just to come back and be ready. And the first thing that I would just want to ask today is that if anyone here has never given their hearts and their lives to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, in this moment. We've seen lots of wonderful testimonies over the last few weeks of people giving their lives to Christ. And if you've already done it, if you're already part of the family, amazing. But there might well be people in here, and you might even be somebody that's been coming to church for a long time. But as I've been sharing this morning, you're thinking, I don't know that I'm plugged into Jesus like Gareth's describing, like the Word of God describes. I don't know if my life is truly been grafted, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've got to be grafted into the vine. And it's Jesus that does that. He's the roots, he's everything. And God the Father is the gardener, and he wants to graft your life into the vine. So the question is this morning, are you grafted in, or are you apart? Are you truly attached, or is your life not really? And so just bow your heads and close your eyes for me, just so that no one's embarrassed. Don't want to embarrass anybody. Jesus came into the world because he loved you. And he wanted you to be a part of this amazing family that is his church. He wanted you to be grafted, attached into the vine, so that you could have heavenly life flowing into you and through you. And so that you can have this fruitful life. And so if you've never asked Jesus into your life before, and you want to today, you want to say, Lord, I recognize my sin. I recognize that I need you. I want to come and ask forgiveness for my sins and to become your follower. If that's you today, I'd just love you to raise your hand where you are right now. And we'll see that hand and we'll pray for you. Is anyone here this morning that's never given their life to Jesus and you want to today? Okay. And secondly, and keep your eyes closed. Again, we don't want to embarrass anybody. If you know that what I've been describing this morning isn't how you are living your life. The picture that Jesus is painting for us of fruitfulness is not where you're living. And you want to be fruitful in a way that you've never been before. I want to invite you to stand. And I'm standing. I'm standing. Not because I don't know that I'm attached to the vine. I do know that. But I know that there's more fruit that God wants to produce. And so if you want to be fruitful today, fruitful in a way that you've never been before, please stand to your feet. Just lift your hands where you are. I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to come right now. He's already here, but he's going to come personally to you. And he's going to fill you with this heavenly life that comes through the vine. So Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus, come and fill all those who are standing right now . Come and fill us with that heavenly life. Lord, where there's been a little bit of fruit, Lord, we want to pray for a multiplication. Maybe we don't feel like we've ever been fruitful. I want to break that off right now in Jesus' name. I break off that lie that you can't be fruitful for Jesus. I break off that lie in the name of Jesus. And I just declare on your word, Jesus, fruit. Fruit. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Let that blessing be released right now in the name of Jesus. Be fruitful. Multiply. Multiply that fruit. Those that feel like, yeah, I feel like I've been a bit fruitful, but I want to see more. We release more fruit now in the name of Jesus. Multiplication of fruit. Multiplication of fruit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, every fruit of the Holy Spirit, every single one, to be released in this place in Jesus' name. If you need patience today, get it now. Say, let that fruit be released in my life. Lord, patience, let that fruit be released. If you know you need to be kind, you need to be kinder to your family. You're snapping. You're getting angry at your family. Let kindness and gentleness be released in the name of Jesus. If you know you need self-control in your life, that that you do things and you feel like I'm out of control. I don't have control over my actions. Let self-control be released in Jesus' name. Not because of our own effort. This is your blessing, Lord. This is your blessing to your church. This is your blessing to your people. This is your blessing to us. It's your work. You decreed it. You commanded it. And Lord, we receive it in Jesus' name. And every gift of the Holy Spirit available to us by your words, let it be released right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be released. Lord, I thank you for your preciseness. You spoke about fruit 9 times. There are 9 gifts, 9 fruits. Lord, we want to declare this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, that every gift of the Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us. It's not just for the special few. It's not just for those who are in leadership. Lord, those that you've given leadership over us. It's for the body of Christ. It's for your church. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, right now, in the name of Jesus, let every gift be released into your body. If you're seeing a gift, if you've seen a gift in the Word of God this morning, and you're saying, I want that gift, I want to see that gift, I want to see that gift operation in my life, I want to see that gift working through me, then ask for it right now. The Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Jesus said, ask for anything and I will do it for you. Yeah, he's not going to just bless us with thousands of pounds, millions of pounds in our bank accounts. He's not going to just bless us with fancy cars and big houses, because he knows what that does to our hearts. He knows that that makes us comfortable, that that makes us turn away from him as being the person we trust. But when we pray on his words, when we pray on his words, when we say, this is your word, Lord God, and I believe it, I stand on it, I trust it, I'm going to abide in it, I'm going to stay in it. This is where I'm going to dwell, in your words. We thank you that there's not one good thing that you will withhold from us. And so we receive this morning. We receive this morning. We receive, we receive, we receive from you the life that you want to give to us. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us afresh, fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. Come, come, come. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to ask the worship team just to play one more worship. But if you want to join in, then please do. If you'd like someone to pray with you as we're singing this song, and you want to come down to the front, and Pastor Joanna, myself, Wilson, we're available to pray for you right now, if you'd like that. Don't have to, but it's on offer if you would like to come. The worship team are going to lead us, and then Pastor Joanna will come and close the service. But continue asking. Continue asking. This is for you. It's for you. It's for you. Jesus did this for you. He commanded it for you. God blessed it for you. Not the person sat next to you. It is for them too. But it is for you. It is for you. Let's worship.